Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, I'm ready to get into this Bible study. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now by faith, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 16. Praise God, praise God. I've entitled this evening's message, Above All, Put on Love. Above all, put on love. Let me just say this, my friends. For those of you that are going through relational problems with children, with spouses, relatives, co-workers, acquaintances, every now and then there's going to be a fallout. There's going to be a disconnect. But I'm here to let you know that the Word of God exhorts us to put on love, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will build up. Love will never tear down. Love is the foundation of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God is a giver. God is the one. He is, hallelujah, love. Love. God is love. And there is no darkness. There is no hatred in his heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I'm hoping that this study tonight will have an impact in your life, especially those that are going through right now. And let me just say this. Without the love of God, it will be hard to reconcile those things in our life. Whether it's relational, whether it's spiritual, even physical. Did you know that you can not forgive people and God will allow the physical body to go through issues? Why? Because there's something that's in the emotional aspect of someone's being affected with an unforgiving heart. And so this is why we need to have love. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And so let's go to our Word of God and let's expound the Scriptures and allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Amen, amen. And so are we there? Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 16. And here we go. And the Bible says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off what? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. That's key right there. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, what? Must do. Praise God. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So, are we ready to expound these verses? Let's go to verse 9. And the Word of God says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, because Jesus Christ is the truth, believers ought to practice truth in all areas of life. Can I get an amen? Look what it says right here in God's Word. It says it right here clearly. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except what? Through me." Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers should not lie to each other. Lying to others disrupts unity by destroying trust. It tears down relationships, and it leads to serious conflict in churches. Oh, that's right. To one another, to family members. Lying can take place in words and said as well as words left unsaid. Oh, that's right. Believers should not exaggerate statistics, pass on rumors or gossip, or say things to build up their own image at others' expense, saints of God. Instead, because they have stripped off the old evil nature and all its wicked deeds, they should be committed to telling the truth. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. I have some scriptures that we need to look at regarding a lying tongue, because God doesn't take any joy, and especially with the believer with the lying tongue. Let's look at this for a moment right here in the Word of God. In Proverbs 6:16 through 19, "These things the Lord hates." What does he hate? "Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue," oh my gosh, "hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." Let me just pause right there. That's a Bible study in itself. But one of the things we're emphasizing in these verses of Scripture and found in Colossians chapter 3 is a lying tongue. And God hates liars. And the book of Revelation said that liars should be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, as believers, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to say things we shouldn't have said. But God has given us a way out, and that's through a heart of repentance. That's confessing your sin. The Bible says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But whenever we do fall short, there always has to be a heart of repentance. Not that you got caught and you're crying. No, it's that you're truly sorrowful for what you've done to God and what you have done to others, including yourself. And so, my friends, here's another verse of Scripture we need to look at. Look at this. Proverbs 12:17, 20 through 22. "He who speaks truth declares" what? "Righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but" what? "For a moment." Wow, look at this. In verse 20, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." Praise God. This is what God wants you to be, counselors of peace. "No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with" what? "Evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are" what? "His delight." His delight. Praise God. Let me just ask you, saints of God, are you his delight? Well, continue to walk in his ways. Continue to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, that we can press toward the high call in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this. God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has placed our feet now on solid ground. God has washed away the original sin from Adam and Eve. And God has now given us His Spirit, washed in the blood. We are heaven bound now, and there's a hell to shun. So we must refrain from what we are learning tonight. We are to refrain from lying, from cheating, from conniving, from causing one to stumble. Oh, that's right. I got a couple more scriptures on this. Look at this. In Proverbs 19:9, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who speaks lies shall what? Perish. God is serious about lying. Can I get an amen? That's right. You see, saints of God, the old nature was each person before he or she came to know Christ. The person was enslaved to sin, bound to the earth, without any kind of hope. But believers have clothed themselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, the new nature from Christ frees us from sin, sets our hearts on the things above, and gives us the hope of eternity. Paul was appealing to the commitment to the believers had made, urging them to remain true to their confession of faith. Praise God. You see, my friends, every Christian is in a continuing education program. That's right. Renewal is constantly needed in the believer's battle against sin and the old nature. What we learn is personal knowledge of Christ who created this new nature within us. Praise God. And so, my friends, the goal of the learning is Christ-likeness. The more believers know of Christ and His work, the more they are being changed to be like Him. And because this process is lifelong, we must never stop learning and obeying. Can I get an amen in the house? This is key for you and I. And one of the ways that we can learn, that we can be edified and built up, is to be in God's Word. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God has set us free. Jesus, hallelujah, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about Jesus. And when we start learning His ways, when we start learning how His attributes operate in our life, and that we can see creation that He created, we will learn to love the things of God. We will learn to love one another. We will learn to forgive one another. We will learn to build one another. We will learn to edify one another. Listen, God has called us to be peacemakers. God has called us to be a light on top of a hill. God has called you and I out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are to have that new nature now. We are to walk in His ways. We are to walk under the anointing. We ought to speak things, hallelujah, into people's lives and watch them change, hallelujah, right before us in the name of Jesus. And so, my friends, be encouraged. God is not done with us. God wants to use us. This is why God gave us 2 more years, that He would use us to reach the community in Bonita and all of South Bay. Can I get an amen? And those who are listening on YouTube and Facebook faithfully, we're here to teach, to edify, to build up, to impart, hallelujah, to build up your most holy faith. Praise the Lord. Let's move on now. We're going to move on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go here. Let's go right here. Here we go. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is what? All in all. Thank you, God. We're all one new man now in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You see, saints of God, there should be no barriers of nationality, race, education, level, social standing, wealth, and gender, religion, or power. That's right. Why? Because we are a brand new one person, one man in Christ now. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at this verse of scripture right here found in Galatians. For you are all, say that with me, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on what? Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, we have been grafted in by faith. Praise God. That's right. We were once not a people, but now we are the people of God. You see, God went through the highways and the byways looking for you and me. He found some of us from the guttermost and has elevated to the uttermost. Can I get an amen? God, hallelujah, did the miraculous in your life and my life. God set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And now we are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We just read that. And we are a new man, a new woman. Hallelujah for those. Hallelujah that God is doing the miraculous in your life. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God's not done with your situation at home and abroad. Many of us are struggling with relationships, with finances, with afflictions to the body. But I'm here to let you know, what God has started in you and I, He will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. God knows about your situation. God knows about your family. God knows about the afflictions. God knows what you're going through right now. God said, I will strengthen you. God said, I will build you up. God said, I will bring you peace that surpasses all understanding. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. God will always be with us. Hallelujah. And God will never fail us. This is why we need to have our complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Bishop and lover of our soul. He is the great and morning star. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And He is coming soon and very soon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I had a take a time out and to exhort you. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. For He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Look, I found another scripture in Galatians. Look at this. In Galatians 6:15. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. You see, what does it mean by being circumcised and uncircumcised? Back in the day, if you were circumcised, you were considered Jewish, Israeli Hebrew. The uncircumcision were the Gentiles. They didn't believe in that method. And that's how they distinguished one another at that time. But now the Bible says, as believers, we are circumcised of our heart by faith. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed that God, He's in everything. Paul pointed out four groupings that were of particular importance in the Greek culture. Oh, that's right. Let's look at the first one right here. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at this. Racial or national distinctions, such as between Jew and Gentile, the spread of the Greek culture and civilization meant that a Greek person, regardless of her or her country of origin, could feel pride in a privileged position and would look down on the Jews and their persistent clinging to an ancient culture. The Jews, meanwhile, would look down on Greeks as heathen, immoral, and outside of God's grace for the chosen nation. You see how it worked both ways? Let's look at point number two. Religious distinctions, such as between those who have been circumcised Jews and those who are uncircumcised Gentiles. Circumcision, the physical mark of the male Jew, was prized as part of the covenant of God with His what? His chosen people. That's right. You see, there was a distinction back then. But praise God. Now, here's a third. I just want you to understand this for a moment, saints of God. Listen. If we practice at all by Gentiles, it was part of a heathen cult. And most often the Gentiles were uncircumcised and they mocked the seriousness of the rite for the Jews. Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, let's look at the third point here for a moment. Let's look at this. Cultural distinctions, such as between barbaric or uncivilized peoples, contemptuous names used for people unfamiliar with Greek language and culture and cultured peoples. You see, we're looking more in depth regarding Jew and Gentile during the time of Colossians and also today as well. And our fourth point is this right here. Look at this. Economic or social distinctions, such as between a slave and a free person. Slavery was common in the ancient world. Paul would have special words for the relationships between masters and slaves, and how could these barriers possibly be removed? Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's look at verse 12 now. Before, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, God wants us to put on tender mercies. And did you know that you and I, we're the elect of God, chosen before the foundation of the world. Before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, God already elected you. He elected me. Praise God. And listen, why do you think you're still alive today when many of us had close calls in life? Oh, I can be here all night telling you of all the things that God has saved me from. But I've learned now to walk, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I've learned to know that He has called me from my mother's womb. And now we are to put on what? Let's look at that again. We are to be holy, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Long-suffering means patience, my friends. That's right. We're to be patient with one another. Can I get an amen? I know some people get on your last nerve, but we have, hallelujah, we have to be just like what the Bible says. And so, saints, in the Bible, God's holy people are chosen by God for a specific purpose or destiny. And no one can claim to be chosen by God because of his or her heritage or even good works. God freely chooses to save whomever he wills. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at God's word right up here. In John 15, 16 through 17. Look what Jesus wrote here. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Say that with me at home. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you what? Hate one another. No! Love one another. Can I get an amen? Love one another. Look what it says in the book of Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my what? Mother's womb, and called me through his grace. I want you to just pause and catch that. God, when we were formed in our mother's womb, he already separated us. He already sanctified us, set us apart. He already knew the life that we would have. Oh yeah, some of us came into the saving knowledge at a later age. But guess what? He's had your hand, his hand upon you. This is why we didn't perish. This is why we didn't, he allowed us to live, so that we can come into the saving knowledge and that we would serve him with a glad heart. Can I get an amen? God is doing something marvelous in your life. God is doing something marvelous in my life. And we have to give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Why? Because it all belongs to him, saints of God. Oh, yes, it does. The doctrine of election teaches that it is God's sovereign choice to save us by his goodness and mercy, and not by our own merit. I hope you know that, saints of God. To have received such incredible grace from God ought to cause you and I and all believers to be gladly lay aside their sinful desires in order to clothe themselves with the nature that pleases God. And so, my friends, in contrast to the vices, hallelujah, Paul offered a list of virtues to be adopted as believers, strategies to live for God day by day in the social activities of life. And it includes many things God has stipulated. Now, let's move on now to verse 13, hallelujah, in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And the Bible says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Oh my gosh, here it is. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, what? Must do. Must do. You see, saints of God, clothing ourselves with the new nature affects how we treat others. Oh, yes, it does. Paul called believers to make allowance for each other's faults. To forgive implies continual mutual forgiveness of the problems, irritations, and grievances that occur especially in congregations. Saints, the church had enough enemies and troubles dealing with the outside world during that time, and they didn't need infighting or energy wasted on grievances or grudges either held over from pre-Christian days or arising in the church that could be worked out with forbearing and forgiving one another. The key to forgiving others was to the believers. Number one, let's look at this. Remember how much the Lord forgave them. Let me just pause for a moment. Listen, when Jesus hung on that hideous cross and he was mauled and ripped apart, Josephus, oh yes, the historian back in that day, was an eyewitness to the cross, and he wrote many books, and he said that he was beaten so bad and his skin was ripped, just stripped from his body. He wrote in his book that it was a hideous thing to look at, and you couldn't tell his gender no more. You got to remember, Jesus was on the cross and he didn't have a terry cloth down below like portrayed in movies and in photos. He was naked before the world, and he shed his blood for you and I. And every rotten sin that we ever committed, past, present, and future, was nailed to the cross. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven me for so much. So the Bible says and exhorts us to forgive one another, to pray for one another, knowing that we are going to get hurt. Even by our children, we're going to get hurt by our spouses, we're going to get hurt by our bosses, we're going to get hurt by relatives and friends. But God is saying, forgive them. Don't hold that grudge against them. Let it go. Don't use it as a bargaining chip. Well, now that you've done this, you got to do that. My friends, you have to let it go. You got to forgive. Let's look at the second point right up here. Realize that the presumption in refusing to forgive someone, God had already what? Forgiven. Wow. Wow. Listen, if someone has wronged you, let me just say this. If someone has wronged you and God has forgiven them, who are you to continue to have an ought against them or make them go through torture? Or make them try to learn from mistakes. My friends, we are not to toy around with the things of God. Let's not use what God has given us, the most powerful tool in his toolbox. And that's for you and I to forgive and forget and move forward and reconcile and learn to love one another. Oh, that's right. Why? Because look what it's laid out in the Word of God. Let's look at this in Mark 11, 25 through 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Oh, but here's the key, saints of God. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. What? This is how vital and critical forgiveness is. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let me just say this. There's some wonderful saints of God that want to give their two cents, that want to counsel you, that want to give you, you know, what you want to hear in life. But a lot of them won't go to this scripture here, because Jesus stated, if you cannot forgive your brother, your sister, he cannot forgive you. Wow. Oh, that's pretty radical, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Look what it says right here. Also, in Matthew. Matthew reiterates this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, look at this. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Wow, saints of God. Wow. So, my friends, remembering God's infinite love and forgiveness should help the Colossian believers in us to love and forgive one another. Can I get an amen? That's right. So now, let's move on to verse 14. Here we go. Verse 14 in Colossians chapter 3. But above all things, put on love. This is where I got the title of this evening's message, which is the bond of perfection. Put on all these things. Notice it doesn't come naturally. You got to put them on. It's like this. Are you going to walk out of your house naked? No. You're going to put on clothes, right? To clothe you. That's right. If it's freezing outside, you're going to put on a warm jacket. That's right. Put on means you have to put something on that needs to aid you, to help you, to protect you. Well, we are to put on love like Christ. We are to put on God's love. God's love is agape love. God's love is unconditional. God's love doesn't have, well, if you do this, I'll do that. No, God loves us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And He loves us immensely. That's why He went to the cross, because He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, saints of God. That's right. And so, saints, all the virtues that Paul encouraged the believers in Colossae to develop were a perfectly bond. It was bound and bound together by love. And as they clothed themselves with virtues, and the last garment to put on was love, which is like a belt that binds all the other things in place. Love pulls together the other graces in perfect unified action. And to practice any list of virtues without practicing love will lead to distortion, fragmentation, and stagnation. In any congregation, love must be used to unify the people and build them up. And those who would desire to be mature in Christ must make love a top priority. Oh, yes, it does. Look what it says in God's Word in Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love what? Covers all sins. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, let me just say this. People are going to wrong you. We live in a fallen world. We are not perfect people. Me included. I'm a pastor. I can offend someone. You can offend me. You can offend one another. You can offend your child. You can offend your spouse. You can offend your boss. You can offend anybody. Because we live in this nature. But as you're reading the Word of God, there's a way to handle it. There's a way to avoid catastrophe. There's a way to reconcile indifferences, and it's through the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God, and the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look what it says right here in 1 Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. And saints of God, we are coming to the end. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will what? Cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That means His grace is endless, saints of God. It's endless. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to our next verse right here. It's found right here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God, say that with me at home, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Hateful. No, thankful. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And allow the peace of God to be upon you. Thank you, God. You see, saints, putting on all the virtues with love, binding them together would lead to peace between individuals and among the members of the body of all believers. God laid it out in the scriptures. Look at this right here. Hallelujah. In John 16, 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Can I get an amen in the house? Thank you, God. Look what it says in Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Isaiah wrote right here. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on who? You. Because he trusts in you. Praise. Let me just pause there. God has entrusted you and I as believers to be witnesses to unbelievers so that we can be a light amongst our family members. Maybe you are a little further ahead in your faith. Maybe God has given you moral clarity. Maybe God has strengthened you in areas where at one time you were weak. But we are to use those gifts. We are to use what God has given us to help others come alongside, to help others grow, so that others can come to the place where maybe you have learned now. It's all about building that, never tearing down. Praise God. Praise God. Look what the Bible says right here in Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Look what also Paul wrote in the book of Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Paul wrote to the Roman church, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Did you catch that? As it depends on you. It depends on you. Look at me right now in this camera. It depends on you. God is depending on you to be at peace with your brother, to be at peace with your sister, to be at peace with your spouse, to be at peace with all things. No matter what they've said, no matter how much they disappointed you and have fallen short of your expectations. We all expect certain individuals to be a certain way. But pray for them. Don't ridicule them. If they fall short, you know what Jesus said? He said in his word, one of his disciples asked him, how many times should I forgive that person? Jesus said 77 times 7. That means you could never break and commit that many sins in one day. It's impossible. And that's how many times you have to forgive your brother and your sister. You know, last week we talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so thankful that God is not up there with his covenant between you and him and waiting for you to sin? And as soon as you commit that one sin, whatever it may be, and maybe he's had enough. Now, I'm just painting a picture here. This is not what he does. But what if he did? And he's up there. He goes, oh man, you committed the last dumb sin. I'm going to tear this covenant with you, and you are going to perish. What if God was up there like that, doing that with us? Well, he's not. He has given us eternal life. He has forgiven us of all of our debt. So why are you hanging that contract over your spouse's head? I'm done with you. I want to go on to the next one. You don't please me no more. You don't love me no more. You don't act the way I want you to act. This is what we do. We play with everyone's heart. But God is saying love and forgive and let go and build and move on from that. So what if someone keeps repeating some of the same things? Help that person. Don't ridicule him. Oh, that's right. I know this is a tough message for some of you. I know 7 marriages right now that are falling apart by the wayside. But I'm here to let you know that God can do the miraculous. God can do healing. God can do restoring. God can reconcile. God can rebuild. Can I get an amen? Let's not do what the world does. The world will trade you in right away for a new deck of cards. Oh, that's right. And the church is catching up with the world. Divorcing. There should never be divorce in the church. Can I get amen? Because God did not divorce you. And so just remember the next time you sin, whether it's a lustful thought, whether it's something that you said or did, that God is not up there waiting for you to screw up so he can rip his covenant with you. He won't do that. And neither should you do that with your spouse. Can I get amen in the house? Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. This is to help you. This is to build you up. This is not to rebuke you. Praise God. Praise God. You need to have pastors and teachers and counselors that'll tell you truth. Hallelujah. Not what you want to hear, but what you need to do. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let's move on. Let's move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this next verse of scripture. Look at this. In John 14, 27. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them what? Be afraid. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Be at peace. Be at peace, saints of God. You see, the Colossian Christians should let the peace that comes from Christ rule in their hearts. And to live in peace would not mean that suddenly all differences of opinion would be eliminated. But it would require that they work together despite of their differences. Can I get an amen? We are to work. This kind of tranquility and cooperation can't come from mere human effort. It requires God's help, His supernatural help, to arbitrate and to enable people to get along. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right, saints of God. And so we're coming in for a close. We're going to break down our last verse of scripture found in Colossians chapter 3. And it's in verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints, let me just say this. The words of Christ refer to the message proclaimed by Christ throughout the gospel. For us, this means the whole entire Word of God, the Bible. The teaching should live, reside permanently in believers' hearts by their study and knowledge of God's Word, making them wise. And to teach and counsel refers to the whole congregation and their responsibility to teach the Word, including the life, ministry and the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a means to warn and to correct one another. Oh, that's right. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, what? Abide in Him. Abide in Him. We have no, hallelujah, excuses, saints of God, to not operate in the way He created us to, the way He saved us, the way we need to entreat one another. You see, my friends, the psalms and hymns and the spiritual songs were a vital part of this teaching and admonition. Although the early Christians had access to the Old Testament and freely used it, thus Paul's reference to Psalms, they did not yet have the New Testament or any other Christian books to study, praise God. But we do. And their stories and teachings about Christ were sometimes set to music and to make them easier to memorize and pass on from person to person. Grounded, my friends, in God's Word and correct doctrine and music that can be an important part of Christian worship and education. I love to worship. How many of you love to worship? I love to worship. That's right. And when the anointing's upon the worship, we can freely worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's right, saints of God. And while music can teach, its primary function may be to praise God. As believers sing, they ought to do so with thankful hearts. Again, the word heart refers to a person's entire being. Gratitude to God overflows in praise and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that God wants us now to walk in His ways. We are now not to play the church, but God has called you and I to be the church. I'm here to let you know, my friends, that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to appear. And this is time to get right with one another. Oh, that's right. We can't let these grievances go. Listen, if He comes and we have aught with one another, we haven't forgiven one another, I'm not going to say that you won't go with Him, but let me just say what His Word, what I just read. If we cannot forgive, He cannot forgive us. That's all I'm going to say. You take it up with God. I don't have the robe. I can just read you what it says. And it's you. You have to take the initiative. You have to believe God. You have to turn to Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You need to seek the face of God and ask to hear from Him. And quit listening to people. Read God's Word and say, God, speak to me. And God will. God will. There's a lot of wonderful people, but a lot of them won't tell you what you really want to hear. Hallelujah. And that's to repent sometimes and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Jesus is coming again. And if you don't believe He's coming in again, look at the signs and the times. Look how radical this whole world is changing right before our eyes. Floods around the world right now. Fires right now taking place. That's right. Looting and shooting and killings. There's 50 shootings per week in Chicago, New York City right now. Our streets are being turned over to the devil. And people don't care whether they live or die anymore. There's more killings right now in our inner cities than there are in the Middle East. Oh, that's right. Saints of God, we are living in the last days. Look at the plague that won't go away. Look at the earthquakes that are happening in many places of the world. Look at Haiti's got wiped out again. There were 10,000 earthquakes in the North Pole several weeks ago. Jesus said there would be an apostasy. And what has caused the majority of the apostasy has been this pandemic. People won't come back to church no more. They have no desire to worship and come back to church. They were accustomed to just to stay home. Oh, that's right. They have no more desire for the things of God. Jesus spoke about that. That's what would happen in the last days. My friends, I'm here to let you know that there are false Christs. There are false teachers. There are so many false things that are out there right now that want to tear us apart. But I'm here to let you know that if you look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, God is soon to return. And when He returns, I want to be ready. How many of you want to be ready when He returns? How many of you want to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith? That's right. Jesus is about to return. And look what it says in God's Word right here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that God has a plan? God has a wonderful plan for you and I. I taught last week that God is preparing the bride. We are the bride of Christ. God has made a covenant with us. God went away for 2,000 years to prepare a place for you and I. And now God's going to come back. We have been betrothed, hallelujah, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the bride. And when we said, yes, Lord, when we gave our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ after He came to us, He made then a covenant with us. And what He promised, He will fulfill. He will come back for you and I that love Him, that worship Him, that praise Him, that serve Him. Hallelujah. That are called out by Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, my friends, I'm here to let you know that the next miraculous thing that will take place will be the rapture of the church. Many believe it will be on the Feast of Trumpets, which is in a couple of weeks. I'm not saying it's this feast. It could be next year's feast. We don't mark calendars here. Hallelujah. We don't date set. But we know the times and the seasons. And I believe that soon and very soon, possibly, this Feast of Trumpets, He will take us home. If not, we have another year to prepare. Hallelujah. And to pray for those to come into the saving knowledge. But the next greatest event is going to be us being changed, and we will be like him. We will put on a body that will live forever. We will float away, hallelujah, and meet God in the clouds. Oh, yes, look what it says right here in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? There it is, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up. What? In victory. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed that we are going to be changed, and we're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. But my friends, if you're watching for the first time, maybe the second or third, maybe you logged in and you Google search amazing or the word grace and you came to our website. And now you are listening to this message. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know, in order to be included as the bride of Christ, you must repent of your sins. You must cry out to God for forgiveness of your sins. You must acknowledge that you have sinned before a holy God. And you need to cry out to God to save you. And once He saves you, He will wash you in His blood. And then He will fill you with His Holy Spirit of promise. And then, hallelujah, you need to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And the Bible says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If none of these things have taken place, and you've never been what the Bible calls being born again, please cry out to God. For you do not want this next event to happen without you. Let's watch this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
That's always going to be the question, my friends. Are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus face to face? Are you ready to walk through the pearly gates? Are you ready to hear Jesus' words? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Because if you're not born again, if you're not saved, there's another place that's waiting for those who have rejected God, who have rejected the grace, who have said, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Please, my heart is crying out to those right now who've never been born again to cry out to God. One of the first sermons given, found, it's in the book of Acts, and Peter, the apostle, preached his very first sermon. And he said, then Peter said to them, repent. That means make an about face. You were walking the course of this world. Now turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed to know that God has made a way of escape from what's coming upon this earth? And all you have to do is receive Jesus by faith. I want to lead you into what's called a sinner's prayer. But you have to repent from your heart. It's not a mystical or magical prayer. Prayer is just a tool that God gives to mankind here on earth to communicate with the Holy God in heaven. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in right now to pray this prayer to help you. And let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. In the house. Oh, hallelujah. I'm believing someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's you, down below is our website. Log on. You can find us. You can reach us through email, and our phone number's there. We want to just make contact with you. We want to congratulate you. We want to continue to edify and build you up. We want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. We want to point you in the right direction. Whether you live in state or out of state, we want to help you. And I'm so mighty thankful for each and every one of you that has continued. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, to continue to support our ministry by faith. Down below right there on our website is our place where you can donate, hallelujah, unto this ministry, for donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, I want to just thank and praise God for each and every one of you that logged in this evening. We are hoping that you were built up and edified in your most holy faith, and that you would continue to walk worthy of the call in your life. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction before we sign off tonight. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, we love you. We can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. It's a live in-person service. We're looking forward to worship the King and to deliver once again another message for the saints of God to be built up and edified, and for someone to give their heart to Christ. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.